On today's edition of This Week in Amateur Radio, we are going to take a close-up look at ESSB, or Enhanced Single Sideband. Some of you may have heard of this mode being referred to as high-fidelity single sideband. Although most of us here at This Week in Amateur Radio were aware of ESSB, what brought all of this to light was a segment that we heard on Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell, W6OBB, this past weekend. A little later on in our report, we'll be joined by John Anning, NU9N, who will discuss ESSB at length. But first, courtesy Premier Radio Networks, here is an extract from this past weekend's edition of Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell, W6OBB, in which he demonstrates and comments on ESSB.
My hobby all my life since, I mean, go look at that photograph. I was 13 then. I will be 60 years of age in June, so I just computed that I have been a continuously licensed ham radio operator since I was 13, or almost 47 years. I remember how I used to look up to old-timers when I was, when I was liking that picture there. And now I is one. So I've been around for a while. At any rate, to repeat what I did last night, and I know this is somewhat of a narrow cast. It's for a lot of you ham radio operators out there. And by the way, for a lot of you who would like to become ham radio operators, there is the American Radio Relay League, and you can contact them, and they will help you find a local club or something like that. It's the very same organization I'm about to chat about a little bit here in a way. There's been this giant advance in ham radio. And by the way, through the years, all the years, ham radio has led the way. Ham radio, you might want to know, ham operators were the first broadcasters down on the broadcast band. Did you know that? The very same AM broadcast band you're probably listening to right now. The hams were there first because the government thought it was worthless territory, you know, worthless bandwidth. But it wasn't, and we proved it, and when we proved it, they took it away. And now you have the AM radio band, and we have been cast into the shorter waves that they thought, again, were no good. But the hams, again, proved they were good, and that you could, in fact, talk around the world on the short waves. And then, of course, came the influx of shortwave broadcasters and everything else. So hams have always been first. And they're first again. There's something new under the sun. It's that simple. Big advance. It's a gigantic advance in single sideband communications. We used to have AM, like you're listening to on the AM band, and they decided, well, that was too wide. Still some do it, but they decided that was too wide, and single sideband would be the way to go. And frankly, single sideband has always sort of sounded like Donald Duck. You've probably seen movies, you know. And they a lot of times will show ham operators in movies, and it sounds a little like Donald Duck, right? Single sideband. Well, guess what? It doesn't have to. It can actually sound good without taking up anywhere near the bandwidth of the old AM signals. Hams have found that it can sound really good. It's called ESSB. That's what it's called, ESSB. Better sideband, if you will. And indeed, to just the average ear, and I'll ask you all, you're about to get a demonstration, and you tell me which is easier to listen to, which would be less fatiguing to listen to if you had to listen to it for a long time. Both of these demonstrations, just for clarity, are me, my voice, recorded by the same station who's located about 900 miles away from me in Salem, Oregon. Ben recorded this. The first is standard, old-fashioned, single sideband at 2.4 kilohertz. And frankly, it sounds a little tinny. A little Donald Duckish, right? But then the second one you're going to hear is this new ESSB, which, oh, granted, takes up a tiny bit more bandwidth. Not much. A little. But it sounds so much better. In fact, so much better it may induce some people to want to get into ham radio. Listen to the difference. Here's, again, this is recorded 900 miles away. My voice. Here it is, the way it usually is broadcast.
Alright, this is W6OBB in Pahrump, Nevada, with a brief, recording at standard bandwidth. test 1, 2, 3, 4. Once again, this is a recording at a standard bandwidth generally used at 2.4. Hello, test.
You get the idea, right? Skinny.
W60BB.
All right. Here now is the way it can sound.
Good evening. This is W6 Oscar Bravo Bravo, located in Pahrump, Nevada, where it is a beautiful evening and about 65 degrees right now on a Saturday night. Absolutely wonderful, and I'm giving you a demonstration of what audio at 3.6 sounds like. So there you have it. From Pahrump, Nevada, I'm Art Bell, W6OBB.
There you have it. All right, so that's how it can sound, that way or better. That was 900 miles away. So it's quite remarkable. It's exciting, and it has the whole ham community kind of jumping up and down, to be honest with you. In fact, it's such a big advance that already, as usual, hams developed it, but now the FCC just authorized the shortwave broadcasters, you know, like Radio Brazil or whatever, Radio Moscow, whatever. They're going to start using it now because it works so well. Plus, you know, the FCC in a recent ruling said that it would not regulate ham radio by bandwidth, so we hope it doesn't. I mean, what we want to happen here is nothing. Here's the bottom line. Ham radio is and has always been, and must always be, in my opinion, an experimental radio service. Hello out there! Experimental. And so this American Radio Relay League proposal to regulate by bandwidth is going to handcuff amateur radio operators. Come on, folks, we're experimental here. If you regulate us like you do broadcast stations or two-way services, then we can't experiment! It cuts off part of our ability to experiment. We don't want that. So well-intentioned as it may be, the American Radio Relay League, this proposal to the FCC to handcuff the hams by cutting off their bandwidth is crazy. Absolutely crazy. And I hope they think better of it and just don't even submit the proposal. That would be best of all. But if they do, I don't think the FCC is going to pass. They've already said they wouldn't do it. Anyway, anybody interested in, you know, in knowing more about this? Here's one more thing, just before I leave it. You know, in this proposal, it sort of forgets we're experimental. I mean, what if 2 or 3 years from now we come up with this really cool new voice digital mode, but, it takes 4 kilohertz. Then we would have shot ourselves in the foot. So all we're asking for is no new law, no new regulation. Leave things as they are. Ham operators have always gone along just fine in the bands, and they're gentlemen. They'll find a way to do it here. And additionally, we're not talking about much more bandwidth, but just a little more bandwidth, right? Just a little more makes so much difference. And what you heard was recorded on a standard ICOM receiver, 3.6. And the difference between this... And between this.
Good evening, this is W6 Oscar.
There you go. So that's the difference, and it's striking, and hopefully you can hear it on your AM or FM radios. One last thing for anybody wanting to know more about ESSB, the better way to do sideband, I would like you to go to a website. It's NU9N. That's Nancy, United 9, Nancy.com. Very easy. You can do it right now. NU9N. Nancy, United 9, Nancy. NU9N, and when you get there, you'll see NU9AM and ESSB Hi-Fi Audio. And just click on MPEG-3, MP3, and it's a pull-down menu, and you can hear different examples of how much better sideband really can sound. So again, like so many things these days, all we're asking is that nothing happen. No new draconian rules or regulations or any of that be imposed.
That was Art Bell, W6OBB, and we want to thank Premier Radio Networks for the extract of Coast to Coast AM. On the line with us now is John Anning, NU9N. John is from Dixon, Illinois, and is one of the many amateurs around the country who operate ESSB on the air. John, welcome to This Week in Amateur Radio.
Thanks, George.
John, perhaps we can start out by telling everyone just what ESSB is, and maybe touch on how you got bit by the ESSB bug.
Well, ESSB stands for Enhanced or extended single sideband. And basically, it's a phrase that I coined here about four or five years ago. And what it's regarding is any bandwidth that is equal to or exceeds around 3K of audio bandwidth or more. And the history of this actually started out when I first discovered a group of hams on 20 meters, W2ONV in particular, who were using some modern equipment, and they were doing about 3 to 3.5 kilohertz of audio bandwidth. And these guys were really making it sound nice. And because I've had audio as my passion all my life, it just struck a bell with me. I've always loved audio. I've always loved high-fidelity music and, recording techniques and so on and so forth. And I was hooked the first day I heard these guys. So I started playing around with some older equipment and then finally upgraded to a Kenwood TS-950, which was capable of about 3.5 to 4.5 kilohertz of receive and transmit bandwidth if it was equalized properly and processed properly. And so that was kind of the humble beginnings of ESSB. But as I said, I really didn't coin that phrase until about 3 or 4 years ago. And in fact, I've even gone so far as to define the different ESSB modes, what I consider to be low-fi, mid-fi, and hi-fi versions of ESSB. And those vary anywhere from 3 kilohertz to 6 kilohertz of audio bandwidth. So that's basically what ESSB is. It's just an extended version of standard single sideband from 3 kilohertz on up as required. And the improved fidelity, articulation, and naturalness of sound just runs circles around the old traditional tinny, narrow-sounding standard single sideband. So that's how I stumbled upon it, and I've been kind of developing it ever since.
You have a few samples of ESSB audio that you recorded and posted on your website. These samples were recorded off the amateur bands?
Yes, every one of these samples were recorded using either my Kenwood 50 SDX listening in 6 kilohertz or my Kenwood TS-850 with the optional DSP-100 listening in a flat 6 kilohertz. Most of them were under some pretty good band conditions, and most of them came from the 20-meter band. So all of these are absolutely flat, as heard in my 6K receiver.
Okay, then, let's take a listen to a few of these examples recorded off 20 meters.
IKE7, IMK. Italy kilowatt number 7, Italy, Mexico kilowatt, calling CQ20 and standing by, over.
Okay, this is K2WS. My name is Alan. I'm in Wading River, New York, and the radio is a TS-870, NU9N. This is K2WS.
This is K3XE. Name is Mike Gabriel.
QTH is Quakertown, PA, Pennsylvania.
And the rig here is the Kenwood TS-850 Sugar, running 500 watts. NU9N, K3XE.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody sound so good. It's just like you're right here with the headphones. It's beautiful. Anyway, let's go down to lower side and let's see if there is a difference there, John. K2VIQSY.
I forget exactly what Elliot was saying, but Elliot, whatever you have, we have nothing compared to what you have. Very fine. This is Bob, K7PE, in beautiful downtown Laclede, where we have one gas station and then a stop sign, and that's about it. It's great to hear you guys again, and thank you so much again. K7PE, Laclede, bye.
Preamp, a Behringer 1124 parametric EQ, and a disabilitated peak-limiting compressor here, which has gone by the wayside. W5JAY from K8YK.
You know, receive digital, transmit analog. I mean, this thing, I tell you what, it's pretty versatile. There's about nothing you can't do with it, so it's one heck of a rig. I think it's absolutely great.
NU9N, this is November 2, Mike, Golf Alpha, name is Jay, QTH, Bloomsbury, New Jersey, and the rig is a Kenwood TS-2000, over.
There's not often I agree with him in audio, but for once in his life, as the song goes by Stevie Wonder, he has he's developed a sound for you that is a pure It's got a clarity to it, which is uncanny.
On this first day of April, this is your friend Bill, W2ONV, one nice voice, coming to you direct from the studios here in downtown Saddlebrook, where daily we produce what we call hi-fi stereo surround sound for sideband.
My God, John, that sounds fantastic. Hard to believe that audio is single sideband. To me, it even sounds better than voice over IP, which seems to always have some artifacting to it. So what are the advantages in operating ESSB?
Well, there's a lot of really good advantages to ESSB. But first of all and foremost, I think the purpose here is keeping in part with FCC Part 97.1, which simply states the basics, the basis and purpose of amateur radio, and that's the contribution and extension of the amateur's proven ability to contribute to the advancement of the radio art, and that's exactly what we're doing. 97.1C says the encouragement and improvement of the amateur service through rules which provide for advancing skills in both the communications and technical phases of the art, which is exactly what we're doing. And 97.1D, which says expansion of the existing reservoir within the amateur radio service of trained operators, technicians, and electronic experts. So with the FCC actually stating our cause for us right up front, I see that that's exactly what we're doing. And I've kind of defined it even a little bit more, and that's simply the production of clean, high-quality, relatively full-fidelity SSB audio within a reasonable amateur radio pass bandwidth required for the fidelity and not to exceed any bandwidth required for good amplitude-modulated RF. Of course, sideband is nothing more than AM without the carrier and the opposite sideband. I could further that by saying that the purpose is the exploration and an experimentation of both old and new audio technology and the equipment needed to accomplish our goals. The promotion of such experimentation within this perceived high-fidelity audio domain without being an offense or causing malicious interference to those who do or do not participate while abiding in the FCC Part 97 rules and regulations. That's really all we're after, is the lowest IMD possible, a clean signal, an articulate signal, one that is not fatiguing to listen to, and also it's an enhancement of technical skills through experimentation, which is, after all, one of the mandates of amateur radio. So the advantages, some people may find this quite interesting. We have found that we get better signal to noise during noisy conditions, like on 160 meters, for example, when there's lots of storm activity. We found that running a wider bandwidth with higher audio fidelity actually gets through better than a narrow bandwidth, say a typical 2.7K transmission. So there's better signal-to-noise ratio there. Two, it's less fatiguing to listen to because your brain doesn't have to figure out the consonants all the time. We rarely use phonetics with ESSB because the fidelity supported doesn't really require having to repeat yourself or repeat the details between an S and an F or a C and a T. And finally, it encourages new amateur membership via audio experimentation and offers an alternative to the voice over internet protocols, which is our direct competition right now. So I see it as actually attracting new blood, and I get literally hundreds of emails, both from U.S. And foreigners who are interested in being part of this audio revolution that's happening in amateur radio. But some of them are kind of nervous because they've heard words of bandwidth limitations and rules that would keep them from really enjoying this aspect of the hobby. So that's why I think it's important that we not add any new rules or regulations. But those are basically the purpose and advantages of ESSB.
Our guest on This Week in Amateur Radio is John Anning, NU9N, from Dixon, Illinois. The topic is enhanced single sideband. If I'm the average ham out there who may be listening to this, John, and I want to try ESSB, what do I need to implement the mode on my radio? Is there any special equipment required or radio mods?
Well, the very first thing that I share with people that are interested in ESSB is, what is the transceiver that you own capable of? Because, you know, You can have all the audio processing in the world, but if the transceiver won't pass it, then it's all for naught. I mean, the bottleneck in the system is going to be the transceiver. What the capable transmit and receive bandwidths are of the actual transceiver itself.
And how would I find that out?
Well, normally the manufacturer states what the frequency response is, but not all the time is that necessarily accurate. It may be stated as the default mode that the transceiver is capable of, but a lot of times there's onboard menu systems in some of these transceivers that you can go in and change things around a little bit. For example, the Kenwood TS950 SDX. It's advertised as at 100 hertz to 3.1 kilohertz, but in reality, the thing will transmit 50 hertz to 3.6 kilohertz flat with no external processing whatsoever. And then if you add some external processing, a little bit of EQing and some dynamic control like compression, peak limiting, and some noise gate equipment, you can actually extend that bandwidth on transmit out to close to 5 kilohertz. So the biggest thing, though, is the capabilities of the transmitter itself. Some transmitters can be modified very easily with menu systems. Some require filter swaps, and some require perhaps a few capacitor changes or what have you. But basically, there's a good variety of transceivers out there that can do ESSB right off the shelf.
Okay, let's assume now I've got my transceiver ready to go. It sounds like there's some external audio gear I'm going to have to invest in. I guess I can't use the mic that came with the radio anymore.
That would be a really good recommendation. For one thing, these little hand mics squeak and make all kinds of noise, and they usually don't support very much bandwidth. So, yes, the microphone's very important. You want something that's relatively wide in its frequency response, you know, say something that will go down to at least 100 hertz, and most fairly inexpensive studio microphones, which you can pick up for anywhere from $60 to a couple hundred dollars, easily support 30 hertz to 15 or 16 kilohertz. And some of them boast a little bit of a rising characteristic between 3 and 6 kilohertz, just for a little bit of added articulation in the upper mid-range area. So, yes, the microphone is very important. After a microphone is chosen, then it's very important to acquire some kind of an equalizer, simply because most transceivers, even if they support good bandwidth, they have a preponderance of mid-range that is transmitted easier than what the low and high frequencies of the transmitter wants to pass. And so an equalizer will somewhat equalize this bandwidth out in such a way where the voice starts to sound more natural. In other words, a slight boosting of the low frequencies, a slight cutting of the mid-range frequencies between, say, 200 hertz and 1 kilohertz, and then a slight boost of the upper mid-range or high frequencies. And this equalizes the amplitude from 50 hertz to, say, 3.5 or 4 kilohertz evenly after it passes through the filters of the transceiver. So that's why equalization is necessary. It's required for a nice, smooth, natural sound, as opposed to what the radio wants to pass freely. Also important to processing would be dynamic control. If you're the type of person like I am, where you're talking softly at one moment, or you're yelling and screaming at the next, or you're just an excitable person, you want something to absorb those dynamics so that your ALC isn't pegged up against the side of the meter face when you're getting kind of excited, as opposed to when you're relaxed and calm. So a dynamic processor, which is known as a compressor, handles these peaks so that whatever comes into the processor in all of its dynamic range is leveled out at the output, so that when the audio finally gets to the transceiver, it stays relatively equal in amplitude, no matter how you're talking into the system. And so dynamic control is very, very important to run a nice, clean signal so that the ALC doesn't have to work overtime in the radio to keep things at a particular level. So, yes, dynamic processing is important. And some guys go a step further and put in noise gates to dampen out the background noises that they might have in their shack. If you really want to go full out on this, some guys like using what's called peak limiting. very instantaneous peak clipping that ensures that the loudest peaks get trunicated before they reach the transceiver. So that's basically the processing that would be involved, from EQing to dynamic control, to keep the signal sounding good and keep it dynamically controlled.
We're almost out of time, so before we wrap things up, let's move on to how the FCC has been viewing the SSB. Can we cover things from a legal standpoint?
Sure. Well, this is this particular issue has been run through the ringer the last 3 or 4 years. And at present, there are no legal restrictions against the bandwidth required to transmit ESSB. There is no hard, cold numbers in the FCC rulebook telling us what our bandwidth has to be. Now, there is some language in there, in the rules. For example, 97.307A, which states, no amateur shall occupy more bandwidth than necessary for the information rate and emission type being transmitted in accordance with good amateur practice. Now, this is a real gray area, because we have to ask ourselves questions like, well, what does necessary mean? What's the information rate? What's the emission type? What exactly is good amateur practice regarding the bandwidth issue? And I would simply answer all these by saying, what's necessary? Well, whatever you deem necessary in order to reproduce the desired fidelity of articulate speech. What's the information rate? Well, if we're running a 4 kilohertz of audio, it'd be 4,000 cycles per second. What's the emission type? Well, it's all J3E, but according to FCC Part 2-201, in accordance with Region ITU-2, the designators that are designed for J3E, J3E just simply means a single channel carrying analog information. But there's an additional designator that goes before the J3E, for example, 3K00 J3E, which simply means if you're transmitting a 3K signal, then the designator technically would be 3K00 J3E, the 3 meaning 3 kilohertz, and the K is the decimal point. The 00 means an even frequency. So if I'm transmitting 6 kilohertz of single sideband audio, that would be designated 6K00 J3E. They're all legal. There's nothing illegal about any form of J3E. So that would cover the emission type, and what's considered good amateur practice, as far as I'm concerned, is just simply being considerate of other hams regardless of the bandwidth being used. It's not even a bandwidth issue. I mean, good amateur practice is just simply being considerate, which I see as a totally separate issue from bandwidth. If a frequency is clear and no one's using it, what does it matter if you're using 3K or 4K or 5K? It's just a different bandwidth of fidelity being used. So, again, to summarize, there is no legal restrictions on bandwidth at present. And let's hope and pray that nobody ever changes that, because we've enjoyed this freedom to experiment for years and years and years, ever since the inception of amateur radio. And after all, that is the mandate of amateur radio. It's an experimenter's mode. You know, it's amateur radio. Come on. So give us freedom to experiment, and let's not be hogtied by a bunch of silly rules that would keep us from enjoying this form of audio experimentation or just experimentation in general. It's what keeps me being a ham operator.
We are just about out of time, John, but before we go, if anyone listening wants more information on enhanced single sideband, you run a great website covering the mode. Would you like to give out your website address?
Sure, it's real easy. It's www.nu9n.com.
That address once again is www.nu9n.com. John, thanks for taking the time to be with us here on This Week in Amateur Radio. We'll have to have you back real soon.
Well, it's been my pleasure, George, and thanks for letting me be part of this.
This is W2XBS. Our guest has been John Anning, NU9N. The topic has been enhanced single sideband. You're listening to This Week in Amateur Radio.